Let's get ready to rumble!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook it raw with the Brooklyn boys. But for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? As for me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap race is dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jet, Slow Express. Out the country, but the blueberry still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in him with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him with cheap imitations.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn ball. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl.
What the hell are you waiting for?
What you made me do, look what I made for you. Knew if I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drop a couple of hits, look how they wave to you. From R.C. to Madison Square, to the only thing that matters in just a matter of years. As fate would have it, J status appears to be at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like George, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you. Probably maim you. If I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Cops have to take one for your team, and I need you to remember one thing. I came, I saw, I conquered. From record sales, sold out concerts. So motherfucker, if you want this encore, I need you to scream till your lungs are sore.
Ow! It's star time. This man is mean. He's killing all y'all dad turkeys. Y'all want more than Jigga Man. Well, if y'all want more than Jigga Man, then I need y'all to help me bring him back to the stage. Say ho. Come on, say it. Hold up. Hold up. Are y'all out there?
What's up, ladies and gents? It's 5:32 Eastern Standard Time, 2:32 Pacific Standard Time, May 2nd, 2015, which can only mean one thing. We are literally hours away, only a few hours away from a fight that has been basically 5 years, better than 5 years in the making. Be very honest, it's still a little surreal to me. I'm kind of pinching myself as I sit here. This is a day that I didn't think would ever come. When we look back over the course of those years, think about all the trials, tribulations, the ups, the downs, the negotiations, the pauses in those negotiations. We look at all of the clues and the details involved. It's very surreal to know that we've been able to evolve to this point, and we're actually at the doorstep of the fight that the world's been waiting to see. As we get closer, with just a few hours to spare, I wanted to take an hour, really, and take a few calls. But more importantly, because I don't think I'm going to take too many calls tonight, but I really wanted to just take a little bit of time and really just take this moment in and take a look at just the big picture. It's totally surreal to me, guys. I don't know about you, but it is to me. I've been going through some emails this afternoon. Have not been able to, and I want to apologize first and foremost for those guys, ladies and gents out there. Usually I'm very good with the emails. Over the last month, I'd say 30 to 45 days, I have not been able to really keep up. But today, now that we're in the quiet before the storm, so to speak, I've just taken a little bit of time for myself and went through a lot of the Facebook emails, a lot of my regular emails, some of the older text messages, some of the older, you know, Twitter messages, things like that. And I've looked at so many different scenarios. It's really very hard to even quantify how to really take in this whole moment. You know, I do this stuff for a living. Some of you guys are dedicated fans for a living. But every time I think that I have a pat on this particular card, I look and I realize, you know, somebody will hit me with a different angle that I didn't expect or one that I hadn't really taken into consideration. And it's incredible to, I don't know how you break this one down. You know, on paper, everyone will say, you know, Floyd Mayweather, basically it should be his fight to win, but as the great Pat Riley of the NBA's Miami Heat told us not too long ago, paper burns. So whatever it is on paper doesn't always mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. And in a fight like this, really means nothing. I was very much against the fence myself. Very, very difficult for me to comprehend a situation where Floyd could really defeat Manny Pacquiao. And to keep it real, I'm still actually tossing and kind of tumbling and turning with that. It's very hard for me to see. Pacquiao is a guy who we've never really seen lose decisively outside of the knockouts. A couple of the knockouts he's taken over the course of his career, they are what they are. But every fight that he has finished on his feet, you could legitimately argue that he won. You know, and I think that when you just look back over the history, he's had some tight matches with Marquez. He had a draw with Sanchez, can't think of the gentleman's name, 13 years ago, in a card, ironically, that had Floyd Mayweather at the top of that card many years ago when they fought together. But it's just, honestly, it's just so many different thoughts, subplots, ideas, concepts. It's a lot to this. As we get closer, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of the body language. And I look at their... A lot of the clues or things I think are clues towards their body language, and I listen to how others break them down, and I parallel that with what I think or how I see those particular things. You know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting, I believe it was Bernard Hopkins, he and Roy Jones both said that the body language somewhat hinted at Floyd Mayweather getting an edge because he just looked more about his business. As opposed to Manny Pacquiao, who just seemed like it was just another day out smiling, maybe perhaps not really aware of what he's in with. Manny Pacquiao made the statement not too long ago with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith on ESPN's First Take that he actually feared Cotto, Margarito, who was it, someone else. I want to say Oscar De La Hoya. He actually feared those guys a little bit more than he feared Floyd Mayweather coming in. And, you know, stylistically, that's another one of those things where you say, okay, Cotto, Oscar, Margarito, these guys are big. These are guys that could probably hurt me, that type of thing. Well, Mayweather's not a power puncher. How is it possible with him? So it's easy to develop that train of thought that, you know what, this is a guy that I should definitely be able to walk through his punches. Well, what's so different about Mayweather relative to those guys is the fact that he is a precision puncher. Precision punches change the complexity of a lot of fights. You know, I'll never forget Oscar De La Hoya notably pointing out the fact that in his bout with Manny Pacquiao, he was at a weight that he had not fought in roughly 10 years. And he was very weight drained for that fight. It was never publicly admitted, but sources have indicated for a while that there was a rehydration clause, which actually prevented him from weighing anything additional on fight night. So we heard Freddie Roach making comedy about the IVs that he had to use after the weigh-in, that type of thing, and how drained he was. Well, Oscar touched on the fact that as weight drained and weak as he was, Manny Pacquiao could not knock him down or really hurt him. It was just so many punches coming from so many different angles. He basically peppered him to the point where he really could not defend himself, didn't have the energy to move, not that he was ever a great defensive fighter or mover anyway. So Oscar's point, long story short, was that Manny Pacquiao was able to pepper him, but he couldn't hurt or knock him down. However, in the case of Floyd Mayweather, at his optimal weight, 154 pounds, fully strong, fully firm, Floyd Mayweather was actually able to move him with a few of the shots that he actually landed flush. So you think about something like that, and you add to it The fact that he's done a little bit of strength and conditioning training, going back to the basics, as he says, some throwback stuff. And you really, really begin to wonder whether or not there is a possibility of Floyd Mayweather maybe hurting Pacquiao. I personally don't subscribe to that theory. I think he has the edge in many other categories. I don't like him in the power category. Contrary to popular belief, Pacquiao is not a defensive fighter, but his movement makes him very shifty. So he's not a target that you get to land flush on, at least not early in the bout. And I think that's the general consensus. If Floyd Mayweather is going to make his mark in this bout and eventually take it over, it would have to be late. Because when it's early, Manny Pacquiao is just too busy. He's too active for Floyd to really land flush. You know, now, there lies one of the most, I think, intriguing elements of this bout. When you look at Mayweather and you look at Manny Pacquiao, Mayweather, that lead right, we know is potent, but that's all he has from inside the pocket for the most part. There are strong sentiments coming out of the Mayweather gym that his plan is to actually stand directly in front of Manny Pacquiao and fight him the same way he did Cotto, the same way he did Canelo. I think that's really interesting. I don't know that I like that idea, but that would say a hell of a lot from Floyd to stand in the pocket with a puncher this dangerous and basically put his chin and effectively his reputation to a smaller degree on the line by letting a fully energized Manny Pacquiao tee off at him early in the bout. I don't know what I think about that strategy. Initially, you know, my initial thoughts, just not a good game plan at all. I don't like it. But if there's anyone in this sport that could get away with it, it's a guy like Floyd Mayweather. So we'll have to see how that plays out. I do think that'll be really, really interesting. In the article, by the way, if you haven't seen my prediction, ladies and gents, go to boxing247.com, formerly Eastside Boxing. You can check that out. Mayweather versus Pacquiao, keys to victory, Ford Explorer, official prediction. I'm going to read something from the article that I think will be, I think personally is very, very, it could be very telling. And it touches on the irony of life itself, because life often presents us messages that we just somehow don't know how to decode. I'm going to take a quick moment to read these two paragraphs and just let everybody meditate on this between now and fight time. The caption, the title of this particular subparagraph in my prediction article is Moment of Irony or Moment of Truth. Basically, it reads, many of life's messages present a level of irony that most will never understand. On the evening of May 7, 2005, the late Diego Corrales stole victory from the jaws of defeat by winning arguably the best fight in the history of sports against Jose Luis Castillo. 2 years later, on the very same night, Diego Corrales would lose his life tragically, ending in a motorcycle accident. Moving forward, you look at the case of NBA Hall of Famer, formerly with the Miami Heat, Alonzo Mourning, who was stricken with life-threatening kidney ailment. On December 19, 2003, Alonzo Mourning received the best gift of his life when he received the new kidney from his cousin, who was a match. 4 years later, on that very same night, he would be carried off the court after tearing his patellar tendon in his right knee, an injury that prevented him from ever really being the same. In the case of Manny Pacquiao, 6 years ago on May 2nd, this very same day, ladies and gents, he earned arguably his greatest victory in his latest run to this point by stopping Ricky Hatton in the second round. The trainer in Ricky Hatton's corner, here's the irony in this whole thing, Floyd Mayweather Sr., who was basically rendered helpless at the hands of Pacquiao's rap. Fast forward 6 years on this very same night, tonight, May 2nd, Mayweather Sr. will again be in the opposite corner. The common thread is not only the date, but the fact that it was against the same fighter who Mayweather stripped of perfection, giving him his first loss, that fighter being Ricky Hatton. So long story short, the question here, the operative question is basically, does this trend shift like the other examples of Corrales and Mourning, or will Pacquiao's dominance repeat itself? I think that's really interesting, because I don't think enough people are looking at the irony of this whole thing and the fact that Manny Pacquiao faced Floyd Sr. A couple years ago on this very same night. As we know, that was not a good night for Mayweather, not his father anyway. Entering this bout tonight, this is a different story. Ricky Hatton is nothing like Mayweather Sr., but the same possibilities exist. So it's that's very, very interesting. I'm into that kind of stuff. I don't know about you ladies and gents, but I think by the end of the night, we very well could be touching on the irony of how this fight goes relative to how those went. But, I mean, it's literally weeks and weeks to this point. We've broken down every different angle, every different possible scenario that could play out. Cool thing about it is one of us are going to be right. A lot of us are going to be wrong. And that's pretty much where it lies. I'm looking at a lot of my messages from out in Las Vegas. A lot of my colleagues who are out there telling me about the buzz. Apparently the city's on fire right now. And I feel a little awkward. This is really my second time. I want to say second Cinco de Mayo fight. Really, in the 10-plus years I've been covering the sport, where I opted not to go, but my decision basically was to sit it out and spend the day with my son and daughter. My daughter's birthday being yesterday, turned 7. Happy birthday to my little beautiful princess on that one. And my son, who's my best fight fan, fight friend, definitely we plan on checking that fight out tonight. I actually got my little guy here with me, who I'm going to bring in this last show to preview the fight as we get ready. I'm going to bring in for a moment as my counterpart to get his thoughts on the fight and see what he's talking about. I figure since I'm going to be here with him and not in Vegas, I might as well implement him within this broadcast, since he's the one that that I decided to stick around and talk about. So before I get him on and ask some questions, Vito, say good afternoon to everybody who's out there listening.
Good afternoon.
That's my little guy, ladies and gents. Lil Vito in the building with me tonight for once. Won't be the last time, I anticipate. But Vito, let's talk boxing. I want to get your thoughts, and we're going to let everybody out there hear your thoughts as we get close to this fight. Now, I've given my thoughts in terms of keys to victory, et cetera. I want to give you a minute to kind of chop it up with everybody. You got a chance to do that on Facebook a little earlier, which was pretty cool. I thought that was funny, actually. But let's give them some insight. Well, let me ask you directly while everybody's listening. I want to know from you directly, what does Floyd Mayweather have to do to win?
For Floyd Mayweather, the key victory is a left jab, because he needs to have sharp defense so he can hit Pacquiao with a left jab. For him to be surprised, then for Mayweather, he needs to come over with the right jab to knock Pacquiao off of his feet with the right hook.
Okay, so Mayweather would need to follow. Cool strategy. Mayweather needs to lead with his jab. Definitely agree. Sharp defense. Definitely agree. But your position is that Mayweather needs to land the left jab and at some point come over the jab with the right hook to get him off balance. If you get him off balance, what happens next?
So if that gets him off balance, he could come with a right hook to hit Pacquiao and not come off of his feet to get him down.
Okay, so you're talking about Mayweather landing a knockdown. I don't know if that'll happen, but I'm curious to see if it will. Let's flip the role. I want to get your thoughts on Manny Pacquiao. What does Manny Pacquiao have to do to win this fight?
For Manny Pacquiao, the key to victory is having a right time to punch, because Manny Pacquiao is a wild puncher. It's just that he needs to have the right timing to punch so Mayweather can't counterpunch.
Okay, that's very similar to what I wrote, actually. So you think that for Manny Pacquiao, the key to victory is going to be timing, because he's a little bit reckless and a guy like Floyd Mayweather can pick him off. When it all comes down and the smoke clears, who do you see winning the fight, Vito?
I'd say Floyd Mayweather.
Okay, tell me why you think Floyd Mayweather wins this fight.
He has the right posture. He has the right defense and offense. He's a very steady fighter.
Okay, steady. Interesting choice of word. So basically, you think Floyd Mayweather, he fights more composed. I'm assuming that's what you mean. You feel like his composure as opposed to Manny Pacquiao's recklessness could be the difference in the end. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So do you think that Mayweather wins this on points, or do you think he actually takes your advice, lands the left jab, follows with the right hook, knocks him down, and ends the fight? Knockout or on the scorecard? How does Mayweather win this fight?
I'd say maybe on knockout.
Okay, like, if he's able to stop him, when do you think it'll be?
Like around the third-ish round.
Okay, I think you're on your own on that one, Vito. I don't think that Mayweather will land anything dangerous enough to stop him that early. If he does, I'm going to be wanting him to take another test after the fight, because I don't think I really agree with that whole thing. That would be crazy. But then again, real talk, I think precision punches make a difference. And I do know that Floyd Mayweather has come out and basically has been all business. You know, he has not really been the kindest guy to the media during this run. Within this week, anyway, he's been totally focused, you know, not really smiling, not really playing. He's been totally focused. And I think that does say a little bit something about his demeanor. But, okay, let me ask you this last question, Vito, before I let you run up out of here and take a few calls. Guys, speaking of which, I'm going to be on for 30, 45 minutes today. But if you guys, anybody want to get in any questions, go ahead and press 1 now. I'll take a couple before we shut it down and get into full prep mode for the fight. Last question to my little man, though. And you don't know this, so I'm going to ask you anyway because I think it's so funny. I can remember my conversations with my dad about who was better. And, you know, when I was younger, it was always Muhammad Ali. He loved Sugar Ray Leonard, but he loved Ali, loved Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, some of those guys. But as Mayweather started making his dominance known, I would get my dad's impression on him. But even though he loved Muhammad Ali, he was able to articulate why Floyd Mayweather was a different type of talent and how Mayweather actually has an argument for his claim to be a better fighter, which not everyone agrees with, not to say that I do, but my father brought up the point of just the balance of Mayweather's game. You know, the offense and the defense, he was saying Muhammad Ali was more hittable. Mayweather is far less hittable, at least in the past, and his offense is just as potent. You know, one thing that my dad did mention as a caveat was that in the case of Muhammad Ali, people saw his toughness constantly on display because he was more hittable. And in the case of Mayweather, he doesn't like to flash that toughness because, you know, if you can get out of the way and avoid those shots, why avoid it? But my question for you, champ, really quickly, all of the guys that you can think of that we've seen in this era. Now, me and you have watched footage of Roy Jones, who was incredibly fast. Mike Tyson, you love Mike Tyson. Who else we got? Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield, Bernard Hopkins, you watch this fight with me. How do you think Oscar De La Hoya, that's another one, one of your countrymen, your mom's countrymen anyway, Tito Trinidad, Puerto Rican in the building, your thoughts, how does Mayweather stack up to all of those guys? Do you think that Floyd Mayweather is the best fighter that you have seen of this era? And if so, why?
I would say yes, because he's a great fighter. He has great punches, great defense, and he knocks out people really quick, like not in the first few rounds, but he could get them out really quickly.
Okay, so you like his ability to break them down over the course of a fight?
Yes.
Okay, and what do you think his greatest attribute is? Do you think it's his speed? Do you think he's smart? What do you think is his best attribute as a fighter?
He's really intelligent. If somebody throws a punch, he knows what to do. He has enough defense and he could dodge that and come over and hit the person to knock them off of their feet.
Okay, so you like his intelligence and the way that he uses that within a strategy. That's pretty good stuff right there. I don't know who this kid's dad is, but his dad sounds like he groomed them well, ladies and gents. I'm just kidding. You can tell this guy been hanging around me a little bit, huh? Well done, son. I definitely thank you for hanging out with me. We're going to check out the fight tonight. Before I finish up with the fans, I want you to tell everybody good night and best of luck on the fight.
Good night and have luck, because it's going to be a hard fight.
It will be a hard fight, son. Thank you, my man. Good stuff. Yeah, guys. There you go. Spoken from not a true G, a true V, I guess, but... wanted to get him in on this festivity. Anytime I'm around, he's always asking to jump on with me. But this is definitely one of those shows where I definitely wanted to get him in. It's I don't know, guys. This has been amazing. Seriously, I'm on cloud nine, and I wanted to do this to help me kill some time. But as we get closer, a couple other things I'm going to have to do to get prepared. But one last thing I want to say before I fall off. Off air here within the next few minutes. I definitely want you guys tonight to jump on Facebook. I'm going to be posting an official Facebook thread, which will be my fight night thread, so we can talk. I can do something I normally can't when I'm out in Vegas, but this time around, sitting in front of the computer or whatnot, I'll be in queue and definitely talking. Pull your scorecards out, because we're going to have those. I'm very curious to see how people are scoring these rounds. I don't know what to say, though. I'm about ready to wrap it up here, but I know that once I do this, we'll be moments away from the fight itself, and that clock is steadily ticking down. So I don't know, guys. I'm sitting here looking at some of bear with me, ladies and gents. I'm sitting here looking at some questions coming in. I'll take a moment to answer these before I go. And shut it down for the evening. I have one question coming to us from the UK. I believe this is Brevin, B-R-E-V-I-N. Yeah, Brevin, thank you for hitting us up from the UK. Brevin's question is, if I had to put money on a stoppage for either fighter, where would it be? A Mayweather stoppage, under no circumstances could I or would I see happening in less than 10 rounds. The only reason I think that is even a remote possibility is because Pacquiao, like Mayweather, you know, obviously noted, Pacquiao is not a guy to put his hand in his pockets. As long as he is upright and fighting, he will fight. He will go out on his shield, although he never has gone out on his shield per se. You know, when Marquez stopped him, it was a well-timed shot, but in the context of a battle, shot for shot, you know, we haven't seen anyone land anything to actually stop Pacquiao like that. I don't know. I guess some people would say Marquez. I didn't see the Marquez fight that way, but that's just kind of my spin. But to answer your question, Brevin, I think if I had to put my finger on a Pacquiao, a Mayweather stoppage, it would definitely be post-10th round. If I had to put my finger on a Pacquiao stoppage, honestly, I think it could come at any point, early or late. You know, some will laugh when I say that because Mayweather has shown incredible toughness, but the reality behind that comment is this. When Shane Mosley zapped Judah and a lot of those other guys hurt Floyd, it is the craziest thing in the world, but they headhunted. And, you know, in those situations, I don't know about anything else, but in those particular situations, Mayweather still had his bearings enough about him to where he would cover up his head. He couldn't see the onslaught coming, but he would cover up his head. Pacquiao throws so many punches, and he has a very quick shot selection. If he hurts Mayweather up top, he'll go to the body. If he hurts him to the body, he'll go up top. So, yeah, I think that, you know, definitely Pacquiao – if he hurts him, he is the guy who has the capability to stop him. I don't know. You know, some may not agree with that. That's definitely the way that I see it. You know, I noticed Pacquiao's been doing some body work as well. He's going to be trying to rip to the body Obviously, with arms that short, for him to get close enough to the body, he has to be in position without doubt to take some shots to the head or elsewhere. So, yeah, it is what it is. That's my thoughts on that. Take the next question coming to us from Marcus. Marcus, up in New York City, the Big Apple, thank you for the message, Marcus. Marcus wants to know, if Floyd Mayweather wins, do I think that this will finally silence his critics? That's a very emphatic no. I don't think there's anything Floyd Mayweather could do at this point that will really silence his critics. It's unfortunate, but, you know, when I look at it, I see a lot of people really just, I mean, the hate is real. It really is. I'm looking on Twitter this afternoon, and I see Rachel Nichols and Michelle Beadle and, you know, a lot of these women, you know, who are suddenly domestic violence advocates. And I just look and, you know, I'll be very candid. I don't know that I should say this, but I always tell you, ladies and gents, I'd rather be hated for being honest than love for lie. I will say this. While I know Manny Pacquiao is a very dangerous opponent, I myself am pulling for Floyd Mayweather. And a lot of it has to do with the fact of the very biased, you know, it's just almost been a very strong biased agenda towards him throughout a lot of this buildup, more so throughout the buildup. I don't advocate domestic violence. I have one sister who suffered. It was beaten badly in a domestic violence situation. Excuse me. I have another sister who to this day cannot hear from either ear as a result of domestic violence. So I'm definitely not an advocate. I think it's some guy's cheap way out. I have a really, really big problem with it, but you know what? I also have a problem with unfair and biased reporting. If we're going to dig into the Mayweather Chronicles, I need to see some, and this is for Rachel Nichols, Michelle Beadle, Sarah Spanner, whatever the hell her name is, all of those ladies who suddenly become advocates, Keith Olbermann, let's throw him in there, all of those guys who suddenly become advocates and trying to change this stuff more so now, like it wasn't important with all the other incidents we've seen in the world of sports. I would love for someone to point me in the direction of just one article from any of those guys that went this far on someone like a Jim Lampley, a Kurt Busch. You know, there's been countless other examples, but this is a guy who, you know, who is flashy, he's young. Some people would say it don't matter. I'm going to keep it real. He's black. Yes, that plays a role. When people see this type of stuff, you know, suddenly I don't think that people who fit that description get the same, you know, eligibility when it comes to a pass or not even a pass, more so fair and neutral reporting. But on the grounds of that, that's part of the reason why I am personally pulling for Mayweather. He's an underdog of sorts, and that is why. Literally, the whole world is out for the guy. I don't mind people understanding and seeing him as a villain in the ring. But when you allow other things to taint your position on the fact that he built this stage through his own blood, sweat, and tears, I think we as media have to learn how to compartmentalize that and just basically let fair be fair and separate the two. But that is one of the reasons why I am personally pulling for Mayweather to win this fight. Second reason, I think about some of the great athletes I've seen through this era. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant. Definitely can't leave out Kobe. When we think about some of these incredible athletes, Floyd Mayweather has been the one guy in my era, and this is kind of touching on why I sidestepped Las Vegas to actually stay home and partake this moment with my kids. When I look at Floyd Mayweather, this is a guy that I can look at and honestly say unequivocally, he did it the hard way. Okay? The guy's body is a temple. I've been at the after parties with the money team. Well, not necessarily the money team, but in the building of the after party when guys are popping the best bottles money can buy. And this guy will, you know, basically just, I mean, not even consider taking a sip, all because he realizes that his body is his temple. He takes it serious. He stays in the gym. That type of dedication to craft, that type of dedication in life is something that I actually advocate and try to champion with my own son, my own daughter. I don't care what you do in life. If you possess that type of work ethic, you will find greater success than you would if you don't. That's something that I totally value. And just separating the domestic violence stuff, that is something that I can still understand and appreciate of this man. None of these athletes are all good. None of them are all bad. If I'm looking at it neutrally and down the middle, I have to appreciate that level of dedication. You know, that's just me. But that's my thoughts. Before I shut it down, there's a few people in queue. I'm going to be shutting it down here shortly because I need to, but I do want to jump out and take at least a couple of those calls. I'm going to jump out. This looks like I have a couple 917s. I'm going to go to the 917 ending in 29 live on Left Hook Lounge Radio, Mayweather Pacquiao. Let's talk boxing. 917.
Yo, hello.
Hey, how's it going, my man? Thank you for calling. How can I help you?
You know, I'm pretty good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Okay, never better, man. We're on the brink, just hours away from a fight none of us thought would happen. So I'm on cloud nine right now. How about?
Nah, bro, it's 48-0 tonight. I'm actually getting ready to fight party. I just made this banana pudding. Quick, fast, in a hurry, people with no jabs, don't beat people with jabs. People with no head movement, don't beat people with head movement who's accurate. Pacquiao doesn't fight off his back foot. He has foot in one hand. He has no jabs. He can't fight inside. His best strategy is to jump on Mayweather, jump in his chest. The problem is that that's a young man's strategy, in my opinion. You understand what I'm saying? So if he can't do something within the first four rounds,
Hello? I think we lost the caller. His call is actually very... Are you still there, my man? If you can hear me, I can't hear you. Okay, I think we lost him. 917, if you're still out there, I guess I'll give my thoughts quickly on what he was saying. You know, he mentioned... looks like he just dropped off. He mentioned about people with no jab, don't beat people with jab. That's someone who understands the fundamentals of boxing, not to say that it can't happen, but the likelihood definitely changes when you have those dynamics at play. As I think about it, I think it's a very, very dangerous strategy for Mayweather to stand in the pocket. 917, if you're listening out there, call back in. I'll let you finish your comments. I'm not sure what happened there. You fell off, but... the point I wanted to make really quickly is Mayweather, you know, there's a lot of talk from guys in the camp, et cetera, that he will stand in a pocket. If Mayweather is such a dangerously smart fighter that if he actually went in with his muffs up, scratched the shoulder roll, just muffs up, when Pacquiao goes to land one shot, he can definitely counter. If he picks off that first shot, he's quick enough to counter and actually stand in the pocket for a bit and play that game. So that would be really interesting, although I want to steal one from my son's book. We've talked a lot of strategy. One thing that I think he could do that would be very interesting is to follow that. After he lands that left jab high and then land it a little bit low and get Pacquiao concerned about where he's going to try to land it, we saw him do this with Miguel Cotto, where he could actually land that jab and circle back with the right hook and land something pretty wicked. A guy like Pacquiao that leaves his feet to come in could very well be susceptible to that. And I think it'll be pretty funny if that shot does actually put Pacquiao down tonight. But we've seen Pacquiao down and get up fighting, so I don't think it ends there, even if he does. I'm going to jump out. Looks like we got one from the 951. I'll probably pull the curtains on this episode after that one, but I am going to jump in and let him get his thoughts in, or her, I should say. 951, live on Left Hook Lounge Radio, Mayweather versus Pacquiao coverage.
I'm on the road headed to the fights, but have you ever seen Pacquiao take a step back? Because if Mayweather can push him back, I think the fight is over then. But I'm going to get off the phone,
you know,
I'm on the road, so if you go ahead.
Okay, good stuff, my man. You enjoy the fight out there. You know, I think that's a really great question. I've never seen Pacquiao consistently on the back foot, but I think that's the strategy Team Mayweather is going to try to implement. If they can keep him on the back foot, get him there early and get him out of his comfort zone, I tell you what, if nothing else, that changes the fight. And I don't know, man. I just have a really hard time seeing Pacquiao put his hands in his pocket and not press the fight. But I don't know, man. If there's anyone in this world who could do it, it's a guy like Mayweather. I tell you, what I'm really, really curious to see is whether or not Mayweather can beat the fight out of Manny Pacquiao. Think about this. We've seen Manny, you can look at some, if you look right now at some of those fights, especially that third fight with Juan Manuel Marquez, there were points where Manny Pacquiao was in the corner, very concerned, didn't really know what to do. Freddie Roach was giving him insight, but it's a totally different thing to get in there and execute it. So Pacquiao looked in spurts, very concerned and just clueless almost. Well, Mayweather is a guy who can frustrate you to that level very quickly because not only can he make you miss, he can make you pay when he makes you miss. Think about this, and this is another one of those very cerebral fundamental things that people don't think about unless you get into the fundamental element of the fight game. Most guys, when they make you miss, it's because you're standing with your muffs up and you're just blocking shots that way. Think about a Joshua Quadi or some of those other type fighters. You don't lose much confidence when you're missing that way because you're still hitting something. With Mayweather, it takes me back to the quote from Oscar De La Hoya, one of the most brilliant quotes I can ever remember as it relates to this topic. I was sitting talking to Oscar when he and Floyd came here to Miami to promote their fight, and he said, you know, the tricky thing about Floyd Mayweather, you can have him precisely where you want him, but the moment that you go to engage, he's no longer there, yet you're exactly where he needs you to be for him to engage on you. It's Houdini tactics at its best, Houdini 101. That's what separates Mayweather from a lot of other guys. And I think that's a frustration we've never seen Pacquiao deal with. With Marquez, he was touching something. Those were firefights. Marquez was just a great counterpuncher. He wasn't a great defender. Floyd Mayweather is both. So this will be one of the first times where we can honestly say and see what it's like for Manny Pacquiao in there against a guy who he can't hit as much. How does he respond to missing a lot? How does he respond to missing and getting hit a lot, especially flush? You know, so that is the thing that I'm very interested in. And I don't know, ladies and gents, right about now, 6:13 Eastern, so we're less than 3 hours from the broadcast kicking off, and I would say about 5 hours exactly from seeing these guys step into the ring. So it's about to go down, and right about now, I guess I'm going to go ahead and get up, get into full preparation mode, which, yes, does include a little more fight footage, film study. I got to look at this some more and see if I really know anything about boxing, because one thing I do believe, guys, by the end of the night, we are going to find out a lot about both of these guys. I want to take a quick moment and read before I drop off totally. I want to look and read the final paragraph or so of my prediction article, because I think that this is really what it comes down to. In these two paragraphs, it basically states, the greatness in this epic battle all lies in the question relative to which man will go further to prove their greatness. We've never seen Pacquiao do anything but fight till the bitter end. We've never seen Mayweather do anything but try to dominate from the beginning. It's safe to say we've seen the best of Pacquiao, but in Mayweather lies an elevator that reaches many levels, some in which many think we've probably never seen. There's always been a train of thought that says Mayweather has more tools and that proverbial tool belt than he'd ever have to use. My position on that, if he needs the hammer, he uses the hammer. When he needs the wrench, he grabs the wrench. The greatest moment of his career has to be the precise moment where all of those skills, as well as a few we've never seen, finally find a way to surface. Mosley showed us a glimpse into Mayweather's toughness after he landed that bomb. Cotto showed us a glimpse into Mayweather's resolve because he was there all night. A cut over his eye allowed Maidana to present a glimpse of Mayweather's will by overcoming that adversity. And the speed of Judah once gave us a view of Mayweather's patience, where he had to wait it out to finally take it over. The danger in Pacquiao basically summons Mayweather's absolute greatness in its totality. And similar to Canelo and Cotto, he could very well fight the fight no one ever imagined by stepping into the lion's den and not only gunning straight from the hip, but right from the pocket. If he possessed the greatness that I believe he does, the greatness that he tells us he does, the greatness that many of you feel he does, tonight is the night that he's going to have to present that greatness. Anything less fails the test. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and ladies and gents, but I thank you guys for taking a moment out to listen up. The next time you all hear me on this broadcast at all, we will know who the better man was and who was the last man standing. So enjoy your fight festivities. Be safe. Peace. God bless. One love. Many of you know I'm a father of two, friend of all, love of one, second to none. I'm out, ladies and gents. Be blessed. One love.